This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
Music and talk radio about all things, all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemon.
Good morning and welcome to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, campus and community radio from Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast on the unceded ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples, and on other campuses that include the Katsi and the Stolo Nations. I'm Robin. I'm one of the folks that you will hear on microphone during the show today. I'm with Pranjali. Hello.
Hello, everyone. It's so nice to be back and talking on Intravenous. It's always so much fun because I learned so much from you guys. So excited to talk about something that interests me and also learn about how different things intersect here.
That's so great, because I was just saying to Ava, who's also with us this morning, that oftentimes this sort of round table discussion, which is sort of what today's show will encompass, is really an opportunity to bring ideas and topics, and maybe we'll learn something. We'll probably will. So hopefully you will out there in radio land as well. So, and welcome to the show, Ava.
Hi, how's it going? I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you as well. So as Prenchley mentioned, we're each going to take a turn and bring a topic of conversation to the table, and each play a song. And the hour will whiz by, so hopefully you can stay tuned for the whole conversation. We're going to weave it together in magical ways, I think. We're going to start with a song, though, just to, you know, set the pace and allow ourselves as well as you to get settled in. This song came across my desk, as most things that sort of arrive on the show do. And I thought it was completely an appropriate song, not only for Intravenous, but also for some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. It's by Gabriel Schunk, and it's called People Pleaser here on Intravenous.
I'm
Gabrielle Schonk there with People Pleaser from, you know what? I can't tell you what the album is off the top of my head, but that's okay. Welcome to Intravenous and the conversation that we're going to have today. I'm going to jump in and I thought I would be able to find the actual press release that I was reading this from, but maybe that's too much to ask today. So shooting from the hip, here we go. A few weeks back, something came across my desk, and it was a press release from the States, granted, but I think sometimes the information, because they have a bigger population, is easier to maybe quantify, but I think the effects of things are pretty, they affect similarly in other countries. And they were talking about how there's really an epidemic of teenage girls who are self-harming at a more and more alarming rate. And when it gets to a sort of critical place where their self-harm requires, medical attention or even hospitalization, there aren't beds. There aren't enough beds because there's so many of these young women who are in a position to, not feel good about themselves. And it really just made my heart sink, because if we're in a position where, as young people, we're already feeling, we already kind of feel like a mess as teenagers, right? Like, I don't know about you two, but you just the world feels upside down, and everything is changing in our bodies, and our hormones are wreaking havoc, and it feels like there's not a lot of stable ground. And to feel that in an amplified way even more so, because of whatever external pressures, internal pressures, social pressures, family pressures, world pressures, there's all of these pressures. It just felt really devastating to me and concerning. So I'm not exactly sure where to go with with this, but I think that there's, we're seeing the ways in which the sort of social narrative is cracking open, mm-hmm. right, and giving us these more and more insights into why people, because I don't think it's just women or young women. I think that all kinds of folks are susceptible. Maybe susceptible isn't quite the word, but we're not untouched by what the mm-hmm. what the word is out on the street and what the stories we hear are all about. But I think specifically, and hearkening back to the song that we just listened to by Gabrielle Schonk, women particularly are poised to learn how to people please in spite of themselves. And that's part of, I think, what becomes really dangerous, right? Like that idea of how, you know, that we internalize the harm that we feel, you know, from the outside, and then we want to actually like be able to externalize that. And some of that, I think, stems from, you know, this idea that we have to be all things to all people all the time. And how crazy making is that? I see nods in the studio, just yeah. For those listening.
It's
silent nods.
Because I feel like it's so true, because I can just say that I myself and people I know around me have been affected in some way. Maybe it's not okay to compare those people who are finding it hard to get the required medical condition, medical support, to the ones like us who are more privileged to have the access to those services and be able to talk about them as well. But I think the people pleasing tendency, or the tendency to have to reach up to some ideals or be some kind, which might or might not be external or internal, also comes into something that I always bring up here, which is the plethora of information that is around us because of social media and how technological landscapes are around us. So not necessarily everything has changed from the 50s or 60s. The different stratas and the different social things in the 50s, it was very different from today, so I'm not trying to compare that. I'm just thinking from the sense of a media landscape and the exposure that we have to such media, which was limited to going to cinemas or watching televisions or being exposed to some kind of newspapers, tabloids. That was the kind of source of information that usually people would go for. But I think, especially for teenagers who have come on social media with the intent to make friends, to have their lives be on those platforms, because everyone is on there. So if you are not there, you're missing out. So you have to be there, which means you have to consume the information and the content that is on those platforms. And unfortunately, those content sometimes are copying those heteronomic and those very specific ideals that how you should look, what kind of things you should wear, what kind of life you should have. Like, you should have a vacation all the time, which I didn't have like a vacation like those celebrities for 2 years. And I sometimes feel like, oh, I'm missing out on something. My friends are partying on Saturday and I'm studying for the final. So just small things like these. And if they are like, you know, going places or looking at the beauty ideal standards that are created for them that they have to live up to. All these things are really happening for them just a finger touch away. So they are so exposed to all these kind of ideals and all these ideas that they have to be certain way and they have to feel certain way. I think technology and the way it's designed is very important to talk about as well.
I think especially with TikTok, I think before TikTok came around, like pre-2019, there was a sense that you were still separated from the beauty standard. So if you were on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, Twitter, whatever it was, you would see the beauty, but it was mostly based on models. So there was a sense of separation. Like, you felt like, you know, those were the 1%, and then you know, everybody else sort of look normal. I think with TikTok, it's created a completely different experience. It feels like everyone on there is the girl next door. Everyone on there is, you know, the beautiful girls. They go to your local high school. They go to university. And so there's not that sense of separation anymore where you feel like beauty is all around you and it's not the 1%, it's the 50, 60% who are more like who meet this beauty standard. Mm-hmm. And I think that's super harmful as well. I think, as you're saying about, you know, agreeability and perfectionism, I do think perfectionism is a very gendered experience. I think, you know, girls are constantly bombarded with this self-improvement content all the time, especially again on TikTok. It's always take this vitamin, take this hair oil, will make your mm-hmm. hair shinier. And I think that's really harmful because I don't think, you know, maybe men, this may be a generalization, but men feel that pressure to be the perfect version of mm-hmm. themselves all the time, the self-improved version of themselves.
Yeah.
Well, a good example of that is that when it comes to men and women applying for positions, you know, job positions, men will apply regardless of what their experience is. You know, if they have 30 to 50% of what they're asking for on the you know, recommended skills list or whatever, whereas women are much more reticent, and if they don't feel like they're 100% skilled or, you know, have all of the qualifications, then they won't apply, right? And so it's that idea, right, of never being enough because we've got to always, you know, up our game. But it also leaves me sort of feeling and wondering about the impact. Like, they talk about this phenomenon with microaggressions and that idea where, you know, you're kind of burned or you know, taken down by 1,000 mosquito bites. And I'm wondering if this is sort of the same phenomenon in a way, right? Like, you're exposed to all of these TikTok videos, for instance, and, you know, each one you watch isn't enough unto itself, but over and over and over and over and over and over.
Absolutely,
and that impact of seeing all of the ways that you don't measure up or you're not doing it right or you can't do the thing or, you know, whatever that is that allows that voice of self-criticism to come into our head and start to be the gnawing voice of doubt.
Yeah, I think one of the issues with TikTok as well is it almost like one the experience I've had is it brings your attention things that you don't even know you should be concerned about. Like, I'll give you an example that's been recent that I've seen online is people were talking about which way your eyes slant in comparison to your nose and what is generally more attractive. So people were using this filter to see that would show them what way their eyes, if they slant upwards or downwards, and like how big their eyes are, whatever. It was just really odd because I've never, ever, ever, ever thought of that before I saw this trend going around. Another example is, this one comes back constantly, is people will show their side profiles constantly and, you know, compare side profiles and, you know, like, look at things as how sharp your jaw is, the way your nose slants. Again, nothing I was ever, ever sort of aware of before this started coming around. And now it's like, I think about it a lot more than I ever did before I've seen it.
Right. And it's like a little worm in your brain all of a sudden.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Right. And, you know, I'm a big believer that, you know, once something gets in there, And you kind of learn it, quote unquote, it's really hard to unlearn those things. you know? And this process of unlearning shame, unlearning guilt, unlearning, you know, the not good enoughness, holy smokes. And for young people, even for old people like me, it's really hard.
It's so true. Also, I think TikTok is an interesting example because essentially my research sort of looks at, hopefully looks at algorithms and technology. And I think TikTok is a very good example, but like very bad, but like a good example to showcase how the design of these platforms is. Because essentially TikTok started as a short video platform and it started to gain attraction during the pandemic, because that was the time that we needed. We had more time at our hands and we needed something going on always, some kind of space that was taking us away from the things that were happening because of the COVID-19 pandemic in a lot of countries. So doom scrolling, I think, is a word that goes around to explain this idea that you keep on scrolling through social media until you find something that sort of validates your beliefs or that gives you that sort of negative energy that you might be seeking for, and then it kind of like perpetuates itself. But TikTok, for example, it has so many problems in the terms of the algorithms that design this platform. For example, we don't even see the hashtags or, for example, even Instagram's reels. There are so many hashtags, keywords, and so many other things than just a like that if you are watching that video, it will be suggested to like your whole network of friends. And then you might even not know why some of your videos are there on the For You page in there. And it's a whole network of reasons. You might have an attention span of 10 seconds on that video, for example, you mentioned about the eye nose length, and you might not like that content, but since you watched that even for 10 seconds, it's gonna be showing on all your friends' feed as well. And even if you comment, it's gonna spread through all of those. So there is so many different layers onto which how things land on your For You page and what kind of things are trending. Trending is in itself a design which has been made, quote unquote, scientifically to curate and keep the users on the platform because it is understood to be a form of media. It's content, you know, people enjoy it. But these videos are feeding ideals and these things, as you guys mentioned, very profoundly. I really liked the way you articulated that, that it's not just seeing that one video, but it's just the repetition of such videos. And that is because also of the way that these platforms are designed, because they are just designed to have this capitalist idea of keeping the users engaged and earning profit from that eyeballs that you're gaining, essentially. Maybe that's in terms of the products that these guys are applying, because I see a lot of like makeup videos, tutorials as well, how to contour, how to, you know, apply eyeshadow. Then there is also, I love Taylor Swift, but there is so much content about the Eras Tour that's going, oh, this is the outfit that I'm wearing, and this is what you should be doing. These are the seats that I'm buying. These are the friendship bracelets that I'm making. So all this, and if you don't do that, you feel left out and you feel not good enough that you're not doing such things. You don't have access to those beauty brands or all those things. So it's a whole lot of discussion of its own, I think. But one thing for sure is interesting is that science and technology, which is understood to be very objective, very like linear, rational, everything that makes sense and it's logical and all those things, it also has people who are actually designing those technologies. So those guys have their own sort of preconceived notions with which they design those platforms. So for example, this idea of data violence and shadow banning, I think, that I was looking at for one of my research papers last year, it was about how Twitter has these different ways in which it flags some content creators, which we understand as mid-level influencers. So they are not necessarily celebrities like the Kardashians, but people who are like the next door, next girl next door kind of influencers for like beauty or for like healthy lifestyle. How these guys perpetuate different ways of ableism. This is how thin your body should be, even though they might use words like body positivity, still their feed would have content which hits and repeats a certain kind of body shape or body ideals, or this is how you should look. It's so crazy that I've seen videos about how like the length of your hair defines if you are like good at dating or not and stuff like that. I was like, what? So it's just crazy out there. I mean, because, yeah.
I was just going to say, and it's one thing for someone with a more developed sense of discretion, right, to be looking at this information that's coming to them. But if you don't have critical thought and you can't sort of parse out what should be believed or, you know, what's sort of fake news or, you know, that falsified information or, you know, what's just plain hogwash, it's really easy to take everything as the true and valid, this is the path that I need to also follow, mm-hmm. right? Which I think is kind of a slippery slope there. And I'm just going to pause and we're going to take a song break because we've been talking for almost half an hour. And this song that you brought, Pranjali, truthfully, I thought, oh, maybe that just fits in perfectly here with just thematically.
Sure. No, I really enjoy that song, so I'm glad we can put it up.
All right. Don't go away. You're listening to Intravenous. Pranjali, Ava, and I will be back after this song.